Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
Paul instructed Timothy with these words, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. The Lord alone will cause all that earthly magistrates do, whether they be kings, presidents, or governors. He will cause those things to work together for good to all of his children, whether or not we agree with whatever policy or agenda they might have. As the sons of light, we dwell in that light and are not overtaken by darkness, regardless of the darkness that swirls around us. Many are heard lamenting the election of our current president, as if this somehow thwarts the purpose of God rather than fulfilling it. I'm sure that the apostles often lamented various trials that befell them as a result of the rulers under which they lived. Yet they spoke no evil towards those whom the Lord raised up into these places, and they did not expect that it was these powers which would render unto them some blessing. The Lord was pleased to put Paul and Silas in prison by the hand of an unjust ruler. Yet he was pleased to meet with them there and put a song in their heart and praise upon their lips. Christ alone is our light, our peace, and our hope. We look for help nowhere else in this world of sin and sorrow. He has ordained that we be the emissaries of his light, not by political activism, but by worship. Thus we read Paul's specific instructions to the Colossians of that activity which is fitting for the sons of God, who were in this world, but not of it. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Paul exhorts the Colossians in three very closely related activities, which are the lifeblood of the saints. Number one, he says, rejoice evermore. Why should the saints be discouraged? Has not our Savior and King triumphed openly over all principalities and powers? Can the powers of darkness prevail against the children of light? Christ has gone to prepare for us a place, that where he is, there we shall be. Rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. What he has inscribed, no man can alter. There is no greater place of rejoicing in this world than in the sending and hearing of the gospel, of Christ's redemption of unworthy sinners. Number two, pray without ceasing. True prayer is both effectual and fervent. It is effectual because it is always according to the will of God. A man may pray thus with himself when he prays contrary to that will, or seeks to consume his request upon his own lust. Yet he has promised that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. True prayer is fervent. Fervent prayer is unceasing prayer. Some think that they are heard because of their much speaking. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Fervency has more to do with singleness of purpose than it does with zeal or passion. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Number three, in everything give thanks. Man by nature is an unthankful creature. By this we do not mean that he does not take pleasure in events which produce the results which he is pleased with. Even unbelievers often speak of being blessed and expressing thanks. Yet this natural expression of enjoyment of the good things, as men may define them, falls quite short of being truly thankful in the manner in which Paul describes. True thanksgiving is that which is produced by the Spirit of God in the sons of God and does not exist in men by nature. We see this type of thanksgiving expressed in an attitude, more so than in words such as we see exhibited in the life of Joseph. If anyone had reason to hold a grudge against his brethren, it would be Joseph, sold into slavery by his own kin. Yet he was thankful for these events. But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. We see it in the apostles. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Their thanks was expressed in their gladness to do the will of God. In everything we are to give thanks, for we are given to understand that he works all things together for good to those who are the called according to his purpose. Our Savior's joy was found in the unfolding of his Father's will. This is to give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Are you thankful?
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.